This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thanks for staying with us here on The Morning Run. You're with Lynn and Shaoning. Now, in about 15 minutes, we're going to be bringing you the KLCI opening numbers, as well as some of the latest corporate news. We're also running a poll on the BFM Twitter account, that's at BFM Radio, asking you should UMNO and Bersatu merge. Tell us what you think. We've had about 240 votes so far. 35% have said no, 50% don't care. 12.5% have said yes, only 3% said don't know. Do continue to give us your thoughts. We're going to be taking a look at the result of this, particularly later on after the 9:30 news bulletin. But now we're taking a look at the aviation sector, because to say that airlines are facing some headwinds is a little bit of an understatement at this present time. But the question is, how dire are things really?
Well, speaking to Berita Harian last month, the Malaysian airline CEO, Captain Isham Ismail, said that the financials had deteriorated by up to 94%. I'm surprised, 94% only. And late last month, our Minister of International Trade and Industry, Dato' Sri Muhammad Azmin Ali, said a merger between AirAsia and Malaysian Airlines was one option to save the two carriers. Now, if we look at a bigger picture and look at worldwide, we do know that over the weekend, the Oracle of Omaha, Warren Buffett, sold his firm's entire holdings in the four major US airlines, he said, and saying that the world has changed for the aviation industry because of the coronavirus. So it seems like, it is really facing a structural headwinds.
Yeah, so plane makers like Airbus warned that the aviation industry could take as long as 5 years to get back to the level seen before the COVID-19 pandemic. Basically, until there is a vaccine, most people will likely not be travelling, and those who do will fly on more expensive flights on slimmed down airlines. So for some insights on what's ahead for this beleaguered industry, we speak this morning to Khairan Mirza, Director of Airport Investor Resource at Modalis Infrastructure Partners. Thank you very much for joining us today, Khair. Can you hear us?
Hello, good morning. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Good morning, Khair. So what does COVID-19 mean for the aviation sector? Is it dead, or is it going to be facing a new normal just like the rest of us? What could that look like?
I think right now we can all agree that ticket revenue is close to zero for all the airlines. There is a little bit of a rise of domestic traffic and cargo now emerging. And of course, everyone's forgotten airports. So I think you could surmise, as you mentioned, that a new normal is emerging. And so we'll have to wait and see a little bit more what exactly that new normal is going to be. But I think we have some emerging trends already.
And what are some of these trends? Do share with us.
Well, I think the first thing that you'll notice is that if you scour the globe, flag carriers have already started to get government bailouts. Governments have already started to get involved as new shareholders in airlines like Lufthansa and Norwegian. And obviously, you have billion shareholders actually going cap in hand to the government to get bailouts as well. And by that, I refer more to Virgin Atlantic than anybody.
Yeah, and from a global perspective, right, who do you think will survive this collapse in passenger demand?
It really is a little bit too early to say too much, but I think if you look at what's happened already, the two very notable airlines which have already more or less called it quits, FlyBE and Virgin Australia, the traits that they share are that, number one, they are privately owned airlines. They're not flag carriers. And number two, they operate in markets in which there is already an oligopoly. And I think from there, we should be able to divine a little bit on who the prime suspects are going to be moving forward. But definitely those who will survive will be the usual suspects, those which are very well capitalized. For example, there's a flag carrier down south whose major shareholder has already announced backstopping $9 billion Singapore dollar equity raise.
Okay, that was the clue, right? Singapore dollar.
Yeah, but it's public knowledge, yeah?
Yes,
so we know that this is going to happen. I think there's a Middle Eastern carrier whose government has come out to say that they will fund whatever is necessary to keep it going until things go back to normal, whatever that normal is. So I think these are the very well capitalized airlines who are already, in a way, in business terms, they're already signaling to the market that they will throw money at this.
But I mean, are government bailouts really the only viable option for some of these airlines to survive? You know, is capital raising an option?
Well, of course, I think if you look at all the other industries, they are following a very well-trodden playbook, which everybody rolled out, everybody took out and dusted off in the last great financial crisis about a decade ago now. So the first thing they do is that they try to raise as much equity as possible, even at the expense of existing shareholders. And then they try to buffer their cash positions with as much cheap debt as possible. And if you look at where debt prices are or interest rates are, you'll know that that is something which everybody has jumped on the bandwagon. So if you look across the spectrum, across other industries, that's what everybody has done previously a decade ago, and now they're doing as well. So I think those are two things which everybody is trying to do, even in the aviation industry. And that's even before they actually take out their surgical knives and try to cut out fat, reduce headcount, look for ways to conserve cash further and buttress any of their available sales that they can.
But do you think cargo can somewhat compensate for the massive reduction in passenger numbers? Because we have seen some flights, right, take off for essential services, actually.
Yeah, absolutely. I think cargo is something that's being talked about. And if you look at somewhere like New Zealand, the government has already backstopped a $330 million logistic contract that Air New Zealand obviously is the beneficiary of. And governments are talking about creating safe corridors. And I think there was even a news article that there was a particular government which has announced five countries which are discussing creating a safe corridor. So, and those countries were named as Canada, Australia, New Zealand, Singapore, and South Korea. So I think everybody else needs to be a little bit cautious that if safe corridors are established, then everybody else around those countries could be, if you will, locked out. So that's a strategic move. I think some of these countries are also moving into to trying to secure that future cargo pie. And obviously the impact of four countries which are not in those bevy of a group mentioned, I think what's really important is that they really need to look very closely at CIQ to be improved substantially. So those are customs, immigrations, and quarantine and health facilities and standards.
So with social distancing looking to become the norm until we potentially find a vaccine, how can airlines practice this? And will this mean more expensive tickets for us as airlines have to reconfigure their seating?
Yeah, so I think that's the million-dollar question which a lot of people are asking right now. And as we see news develop and basically government regulations develop from country to country, what we already know is that as far as 6 weeks ago, EasyJet, which is probably number two LCC in Europe, had already signaled to the regulators that they would leave their middle seats empty in a 3x3 configuration. Now, that's more or less been accepted. And that's what even low-cost carriers out in Thailand have started to fly just 24 hours ago. So some of the media have been reporting that this is what some airlines have already started to practice to try to reassure regulators and customers that this is what is minimum that they will do to try to achieve social distancing. Now, I'm not saying that that's going to be the only scenario that regulators and governments and passengers are going to accept, but it obviously is one in which airlines are thinking, well, you know, at that rate, we're looking at maybe a 33% decline in seating capacity. And if what I think that really means that they're hoping that they can recoup that by slightly higher ticket prices. And obviously, if fuel prices remain low, then that could be something in which they could buffer themselves over for the next couple of years.
And if we look at Malaysia specifically very quickly, right, we know that local carriers are just about treading water, but do you expect mergers, the obvious being MAS and AirAsia?
I think in the context of Malaysia, it would be quite challenging to justify why a private airline can take over a government entity. And even if the government entity wants to take over a private airline, whether it's Malindo or AirAsia, I think the balance sheets that they have right now are looking pretty uncertain, and that's being as courteous as we can get, right? So asset prices, nobody knows what it will look like over the last over the next few quarters. Nobody knows what liquidity will look like for airlines. And in the case of Norwegian Air, which is probably one of the fastest growing low-cost, kind of a low-cost carrier hybrid, they've gotten three-quarters of their debt holders to force through a debt-to-equity conversion. So that's a massive dilution for equity holders as well. So within all of that, for us to expect a merger at this point in time, I think it's a little bit premature. I think the market will probably expect some other things to happen first, and mergers and acquisitions will really need to be something that happens at the end of the spectrum.
Thank you very much for speaking with us this morning, Khair. That was Khair Mirza, Director of Airport Investor Research at Modalis Infrastructure Partners, giving us a bit of insight into what we can expect from the aviation industry in these unusual times. Right now, though, we are heading into the 9 o'clock news bulletin, and up next, the KLCI opening numbers and some corporate news for you. Keep it here, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.